This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 6th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we pay a visit to Volition in Champaign. It's a video game manufacturer that's keeping its video game testing processes here in town. Also get a forecast, a rather snowy one for parts of the area, from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keezer. First, today's news. The Douglas County community of Arcola will pay its final respects this week to a local native who died in Iraq. As AM 580's Jeff Bossert reports, many people attended a ceremony yesterday at Willard Airport.
Members of the Patriot Guard Riders East Central Illinois chapter were on their motorcycles, accompanying the family of Alan Roberts, joined by military officers and Douglas County law enforcement. The procession was leaving for Arcola, where funeral services will be held later this week, all met at a hangar at Willard, where the body of the 21-year-old Marine Corporal was flown in. These events hit home for Jerry Vail. The Patriot Guard chaplain says his son is an Army instructor.
I just want to thank all of the young men and women who are sacrificing, giving of their time and of their livelihoods for the freedom of this country. Freedom does not come cheap. It's our lives that they're saving, and we want to praise the Lord for what they have done for us.
Patriot Guard riders are requested for many military funerals in the region. One captain says he's been part of more than 100 services. Alan Roberts died last week after a Humvee crash near the city of Al-Asad. Visitation is today from 3 to 8 at Arcola High School, while funeral services will be held tomorrow morning at 11 at the school. Both will be held in the school's gym, with burial at Arcola Cemetery. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
The Champaign County Board will vote on whom Republican committeemen have chosen to succeed a departing board member. Alan Nudo is a real estate developer in Champaign. He was chosen in a caucus last night to replace 3rd District member Scott Tapley. Tapley's leaving his board seat to take a job in Indiana. A man and a woman from Urbana have been killed in a car crash that involved a semi northwest of Champaign. Lieutenant Alan Jones with the Champaign County Sheriff's Office says 26-year-old Becky Bond's car drove into the path of the semi at Cardinal and Staley Roads yesterday afternoon. Bond and her passenger, 27-year-old Daniel Jones, were dead at the scene. He says there was no snow or ice on the road at the time, and the accident remains under investigation. That crash closed the intersection for more than 3 hours. Illinois State Treasurer Alexi Janulius testified in court this week regarding a loan that he authorized while he was working for his family's Chicago-area bank. Jenna Dooley reports that Janulius stands by his actions.
Janulius was Broadway Bank's vice president before running for state treasurer in 2006. 4 years earlier, the bank loaned an 83-year-old woman $1 million, but her son says his mother's business partners bilked her out of the cash. As a result, the elderly woman could wind up losing her home. In his lawsuit, the son claims the bank should have recognized his mother was mentally incompetent. Speaking to a journalism class in Springfield, Janulius refused to comment directly about the lawsuit, but added,
"As a financial institution, it's tough for us to do too much digging into your past. Again, we're there to give solid loans and make the right decisions for our financial decisions for our investors."
In court, Janulius said he warned the woman about the questionable pasts of her business partners, but the bank went through with the loan. I'm Jenna Dooley.
Parents whose kids wind up in trouble could be forced to pay more. Legislation introduced at the Illinois Capitol would raise the civil penalties for parents of minors who willfully cause injury or damages. Democratic Senator Michael Noland of Elgin says it's one way to get parents' attention and force them to take more responsibility for their children.
The intent here is to remedy chronic situations here, where we have a household that we have known for a long time has had problems. This is an additional tool when all other avenues have failed.
Noland says the effort stems from a rash of youth gun crime in his district. His plan would raise the current penalty for parents 10 times higher to a maximum of $200,000 for each offense. Noland says he settled on that amount because it's closer to the average price of a home in his district. The acting Secretary of Agriculture, Chuck Connor, says he wants the president to sign the farm bill by the end of this year. That bill is now stalled in the Senate over certain changes. Connor spoke in Chicago yesterday and called those changes simple but controversial. Diantha Parker reports.
Connor said the most serious change would ensure taxpayer-funded farm subsidies really go to farmers. He used a giant map splotched with red to show a big concentration of current recipients.
This is not the Midwest. This is actually a map of Manhattan. And again, as I've reminded folks, that is not Manhattan, Kansas. That is Manhattan, New York City.
Connor was addressing a conference sponsored by DTN, which publishes the Progressive Farmer magazine. He said that despite the stalled farm bill, agriculture has had a good year. Net farm income will exceed $87 billion by the end of 2007. That's up $18 billion from last year. I'm Diantha Parker.
A little-known federal program can help some victims of crime come forward if they're assured that they won't be deported for doing so. Today, law enforcement and domestic violence advocates in Mattoon will learn how to encourage illegal immigrants to report if they've been victimized. Susan Schreiber of the Catholic Legal Immigration Network says immigrants without documentation can apply for a temporary special visa that would let them stay in the U.S. while they cooperate in the criminal process.
It's a way of encouraging that person to come forward because there's they can then, you know, aid in the investigation or prosecution of the offense, but cut into their fear of coming forward because there's a possibility of applying for status on the basis of reporting that crime.
Schreiber says the so-called U and T visas have been available for 7 years, but it wasn't until this fall that Homeland Security officials publicized them. They're aimed at victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, trafficking, and other crimes. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. This week, we paid a visit to a company where employees make money having fun. A video game maker in Champaign pays college graduates to test its games before they hit the market. For some testers, it's the beginning of a career, as AM 580's Jeff Bossert explains.
It's surprisingly quiet here, in a room where there are spaceships landing and aliens prowling the streets. About a dozen video game testers are tuned to their terminals, making sure Crypto, the alien, can walk everywhere he's supposed to and fire at will. Destroy All Humans 3 is one of the games that this company, Volition, is developing for release next year. And while you might expect to hear ray guns and explosions, to minimize the chaos, the testers, like Amanda Miller, are wearing headphones. Miller's job is to make sure the right sound is made at the right time.
Like if you find a fountain that's a still pool and it's making a rushing water noise, you would report that. Or if someone's, you know, shooting at you and it's not making a noise, but if other people shoot at you and it does make a noise, you can mark that up as an inconsistency, or it should either be all or nothing. And we usually liked it to be all.
The testers here are responsible for finding flaws in games made for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. The testing pit is basically a computer lab of sorts. Volition's 250 employees work out of an office complex in downtown Champaign, home to the University of Illinois. For many game testers here, this is their first full-time job, and they're a diverse group. Amanda Miller got a history degree a few months back. The guy next to her received his in computer science. At the other end of the room, one tester has a degree in chemical engineering. But everyone here is an experienced gamer. Dan Cermak is Volition's vice president for product development. He says the company stresses attention to detail, and good gamers recognize that.
When you look at where the machines have come, the PS3 and the 360, they're all very high-end now. They have very high-end visuals. 3D is as far as there's no such thing as 4D. You know, you can't get any farther than 3D. So now it's about how good your game is inside.
While some video game manufacturers outsource their testing, Volition's founder, Mike Kulas, says he likes his testers to be on the premises.
In some cases, providing fresh eyeballs on the game, what is fun, what is working well, what is not. That kind of stuff, I think it really needs to happen here, or it needs to happen close to the team. The team needs to be able to talk to these people. The team needs to be able to sometimes observe them doing the testing.
Josh Davidson is making sure the sound is on par with the graphics. Davidson is working on Saints Row 2, a sequel to one of Volition's biggest hits. He's making sure the sound effects synchronize with the right times of the day.
Like right now it's noon, and I can change it real quickly and make it nighttime, and it'll be more nighttime city sounds. So it's not going to be as condensed traffic.
Pay for video game testers ranges from $9 to $15 an hour, but many are being groomed for careers as video game designers, jobs that start at about $40,000 a year. Top designers can earn more than $100,000 a year. And as for the testers, you'd think that after 8 or 10 hours of using a gamepad, they'd be eager to get home and do something completely different. But many here say when they clock out, they play video games at home. Though since they're trained to spot flaws, they're now pickier about which games they play. For NPR News, I'm Jeff Bosser.
Get ready for snow. Snow advisories have been issued for large parts of Illinois and a little bit of northwest Indiana, generally through this afternoon through tomorrow morning. The snow should start this evening in the Champaign-Urbana area. The forecast for the two states calls for a cloudy day in northwest and west central Illinois with snow arriving this afternoon. Elsewhere in Illinois, mostly sunny early today, then increasing clouds. Still sunny in Indiana, and highs ranging from 25 in far northern Illinois to around 40 in the south. 33 the high in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, in the northern and central sections of Illinois and Indiana, cloudy with snow spreading the area from west to east, with many locations receiving accumulations of 2 to 4 inches. In the south, cloudy with rain showers arriving. Some sleet will happen on the northern fringe of those areas. Lows tonight from 24 in the north to 34 in the far south, 27 in Champaign-Urbana, with again a 2 to 4 inch snowfall likely. For tomorrow, in the north and central sections, cloudy with some lingering flurries. In the south, cloudy with scattered rain showers, and highs from 25 in the northwest to 47 in the far south, 35 in Champaign-Urbana. Looking ahead, Saturday, cloudy, occasional light freezing rain and rain with a high of 34. Freezing rain in Sunday's forecast as well with a high of 33. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 6th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.